Blog Talk Radio.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
Yes, we do. We all go running around and around and around. And now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax, and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. Is Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy a wonderful sound. And now it's time to step into the Sippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be. And yes, now we are in the new and improved Tippy Talk, where we boldly go from where you are to where you want to be. And hopefully you go without hesitation and with looking fear right in the face. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and today I am going to first read you something and then talk about my day. And have you think about your day? Did you plan what you were going to do today? Or did you just randomly run around doing things without looking at priorities, without looking at things that you may not be able to do? And so I'm going to read you something really beautiful called Go Outside, which is why I call this show Go Outside, because it's about experiencing life in a multitude of ways, like different ways, and really not talking about the internet we're talking about, or any kind of electronics. We're talking about reality. So I'm going to read you something that was written by, I guess it's anonymous because I don't know who wrote it, but it's a beautiful article, and it's called Experience the Multitude and Magnitude of Life Surrounding Us. Multitude and magnitude of life. The magnitude of life. Sometimes when I see a beautiful picture of what is really going on this planet, I get in awe. Like when I take a walk right by the shore where I'm walking in front of the waves, it's just the amazing rhythm of the ocean, the amazing rhythm of the universe, the amazing rhythm of life. It just overwhelms me with its beauty and serenity and abundance. So here is what she wrote. Go outside, preferably to a park or an undeveloped area away from the embellishment of humanity as much as you are able. And I love the way she put that, because a lot of parks that you go to have been so embellished by humanity that you can hardly recognize that it's a park. And even though they create a nice environment, honestly, no matter how wonderful it is, it's not even comparable in any shape or form to what we can get in nature, in a place where humanity hasn't touched. Inhale the aroma of the pines and the trees and the birds and the flowers. Put your nose to a flower, any flower, and sniff it. And if there are no flowers, absorb the aromatic scent of a leaf or a mold or a fungus. Close your eyes and breathe deeply of the molecules of life. Feel the wind brush your skin. You know what? Close your eyes and just feel all those things. And then tomorrow when you have a chance, or today if you're listening to it when it's light outside, go ahead and do it. So close your eyes and feel the wind brush your skin, palm the grass, touch a branch or the bark of a tree. Caress the bulges and the valleys as you move your fingertips along the wood. Multiply the sensation by a million or a trillion or more. Now, when you're out there in nature looking around, open your eyes and study the sky, the clouds, the stars, or the moon. Linger there for a minute as you discern the shapes, the edges, the contrast between light and dark, the gradations of black or blue or white. Dig in the soil with your hands, not deep, just enough to connect you to the earth. Scrape the clay or sand into your fingernails. Smell it. You belong to that place. You have become it as surely as it has built you. Recline upon the ground like a statue. Close your eyes. Listen to the planet speak. Immerse yourself in the soughing breeze, in the chirps of chipmunks or crickets or tree frogs. Shift position. Hear your own movement intruding on the external. You are more than a device attached to your phone, computer, tablet. You're not an app. You have transcended the technology that brought you to this moment. You're a god and a devil. You have the power for good and evil, like the bear, the lion, the shark, the ant, the fly, the bumblebee, the sparrow, the crow, and the squirrel. Remember, you're a part of a greater whole. You are significant and completely necessary, a tiny fragment that, when vanished, will never return. A piece of puzzle you may never fully understand, but a thing of beauty nonetheless. Today I'm a little bit coughing and a little bit of a sore throat, which I totally forgot I had today because I took some vitamins in the morning. And so I just took them, so I hope I don't cough too much. I don't want to pull a Hillary. That's really beautiful, and that's about connecting to nature, which if you live in a city where everything around you is concrete, it's really refreshing, rejuvenating, and the spiritual experience to go out of the city somewhere. Sometimes it could be down the block. I discovered a green patch a few streets away from where I was in a very, very hardened and deep city in Brooklyn, New York. And so you never know where you're going to find it when you're looking for it. And so before I tell you about my day today, which I will, I'm going to tell you about today. I have a few things that I'm going to talk about. The first thing that happened to me that was a discomfort was somebody called me a control freak. The second discomfort I had today was I got stuck in traffic. The third discomfort was I came home starving. And that's mostly the discomforts that happened today. And that's kind of related to my weight, coming home starving, and why I don't have scales in my house. I will tell you about that. But I did weigh myself. I was somewhere before, right before I came home, I stopped somewhere that had a scale, and I decided to weigh myself. And I found out that I lost 8 pounds from the last time I weighed myself, which was great because I was starving all day. So I don't know if it's because I didn't eat all day, and when I say eat dinner, I'm going to gain my 8 pounds back, or it's because I've been so good and I haven't had hardly any carbs in the past 3-4 days. And then I did a lot of research on Islam, and that's not politically correct. And a lot of people are advising me not even to talk about it. But I'm going to tell you what happened to me when I said something that was not politically correct. I said Islam is evil, and that fact that it wasn't politically correct really surprised me. I don't know why it surprised me, but it surprised me, the reaction I had from the people that I said it to. I would say it was about 10 people in the room, and I will tell you about that. And that's why I did a lot of research today on Islam, because I like to kind of make my life productive when I'm stuck in traffic. So that's what I did. But before I do that, I'm going to read you a quote. And it's about staying in the moment and being grateful. So now is all we have. That's what it's about. Now is all we have. Live in the moment. Remember the past. And I think that's one of the key things. You could live in the moment and you should remember the past, but not in a negative way. I can live in the now really well because I had a good yesterday. If you can't go back and appreciate the past, you are not going to live well in the past. So embrace yesterday and value it and realize that those days helped you to become who you are today. And ask yourself, are you grateful for today? And I could tell you that I'm totally grateful for today, even though I had a lot of discomforts and a little bit of challenges. And so, here goes my cough again. I'm going to give you a little quote that will kind of be a great entryway into my today. Success is achieved by developing our strengths, not by eliminating our weakness. Marilyn Vos Savant, and that's a columnist. So that's what was my big question, because we have weaknesses, and a lot of people have told me to try to get rid of the weaknesses or overcome or use my willpower. And for me, it doesn't work. So I don't know. My coughing isn't doing so well. It did really well all day, even though I woke up in the morning coughing. For me, eliminating my weaknesses doesn't work so well, but it works a lot better when I try to develop my strengths and I try to develop new strengths that I don't have. And that's why I love this quote. So let me tell you about today. So the first thing today that happened that was uncomfortable, after I did my usual morning routine, which I was very proud of because I'm trying to change my morning routine and make it more in accordance with what I like. And today I really did 90% of the routine that I want to make. It's not easy to make a transition from where you are and what you do in the morning to where you want to be, but 90% is really good. And one of the things I did not do that I forgot to do, and I wanted to be part of my routine, is to drink a cup of water the first thing when I wake up, because I don't drink coffee anyway. So that's not a problem. But to just get up and drink a cup of water first thing in the morning, I just really didn't do it today because I forgot. And then I had a conversation with someone, and they called me a control freak, which was not a very comfortable thing to hear. And I just don't agree either. And so I kind of looked all day to see if I am a control freak or if I am controlling. And maybe I can't see it because I asked the person to give me examples. I didn't really get examples of me being a control freak. More, it ended up that I was maybe opinionated, but still, somebody to say that to me must be something that bothers them, but something that I did. So I really did think about it a lot. So that was kind of like a thorn in my throat for the day. Not pleasant. But while I was doing all that thinking, I actually got stuck in such horrible traffic. I have not got stuck in a traffic like that in a long time. I have had traffic jams. You can't live in New York without having traffic jams. You can't breathe in New York without getting stuck in one kind of traffic jam or another. As a matter of fact, in the morning, right after I got called control freak, I got stuck behind a garbage truck. That's kind of a traffic jam. I have to actually reverse and get away from there because the truck just couldn't care less if you had one car or 1,000 cars behind them. They move at their own pace. They take up the entire street and you can't pass. So, and that was a small indication of what was going to come, because later on, I had an errand to run about 20 miles from the house, and the way back was very close to rush hour. I think it actually started hitting rush hour. It was like between 4:30 to 5 o'clock. And the traffic was so bad, literally was not moving. I had maybe a 10-minute drive that my GPS told me would take an hour. So that's when I did the research on Islam. And then I'm going to tell you about the research on Islam. That's the last thing I'm going to say. So you're going to have to hear that later. And if you don't want to hear it and you're afraid that I might not be politically correct because I am going to talk about why Islam is evil, then you'll be able to just shut it off for that point. Then I came home starving, and I came home starving after I weighed myself. And I don't have scales at home, because if I had scales at home and I weighed myself every day, I would never, ever lose weight. Because when I weighed myself today, I found out that I lost 8 pounds. And so I was really good. I had no desire to eat too much. So I stayed within the realms of where I wanted to stay nutritionally. I cheated a little bit, but it wasn't much. But if I would have weighed myself and I would have seen that I didn't lose any weight, or that I maybe even gained weight after a week of working really hard, of being very careful what I eat, I would have eaten so much tonight. And I would have blown any chance I ever had of being. So that's just the way I am. And that's why I don't have scales at home. I don't want to know how much I weigh. I can tell that I lost weight by the way my clothes fit me. And honestly, when you want to lose weight and you watch yourself, my focus is on eating healthy. Because if I focused on losing weight, again, it would be really difficult. So for me, I focus on eating healthy things. And if I don't eat anything that isn't healthy, which I've never been that pure, I'm going to lose weight anyway, because my idea of healthy is no breads, no carbohydrates, hardly. Maybe some healthy carbohydrates, but I don't think you would gain weight from that. And so I'm really happy about that. So even though I got stuck in traffic, even though somebody called me a controlfreak, and even though I came home starving, I did get some good news, and that's what I'm going to focus on. Because I weighed myself, and I lost 8 pounds. And it was such a good shock, because I didn't expect it. I expected maybe either to be the same, or maybe to lose 1 or 2 pounds. And then I did some research on Islam, because I was sitting in traffic, and I had nothing else to do. And here's some things that I found out. There was a woman who was born a Muslim, Palestinian woman, and she converted into Christianity. So obviously she wasn't happy with Islam, but she speaks Arabic and she can read the Quran. And she was reading from the Quran, and she said that in the Quran, Muhammad was originally, when people started following him, he literally attached himself to thugs, thieves and rapists, and that's the people that were his first followers. That doesn't say a lot of good things about the prophet of a religion. She actually said that Islam is not a religion. She said that Islam is a cult and a political ideology. I didn't say any of that. She said that she was quoting from the Quran. She was quoting from the Quran, and she said that women are considered half a person or a quarter of a man because they have no brain. That when you go to court, according to Islam, and I think the law that they call their constitution is called jihad. I'm not sure. But yeah, I think that's what it is. And when you go to court, for every one man testifying, you have to have 3 women testifying in order for the court to even listen to anything the women are saying, because the women are like half a brain or a third of a brain of a man. So women have no rights in Islam. That's evil. stealing from people and raping people is evil. In Islam, you can get married when a girl is very, very young, as long as you don't actually have sex with her, as long as you don't insert your sexual male part into a little infant. But it doesn't mean that you don't really have sex with her, because you can do it without inserting her. You're allowed to thigh her, which means rubbing up against the thighs. That's evil. That's evil. And then she said that the imam can make the decision on what age a man can marry a woman. And one of the imams decided that there is no age. You can actually marry a girl from the day she's born. And then you can have sex with her as soon as you think she's mature enough to have sex. That's very, very evil. Then the other thing that was mentioned was that woman that became Christian, that she had to leave. She was brought up in Saudi Arabia, and they didn't like her there because she wasn't conforming without asking any questions. She was told that in order to be a good Muslim woman, she has no right to ask any questions. She just has to be obedient and do what you are told. That's evil. That's very evil. And it kind of explained to me one of the things that my ex-husband, who was Muslim and was brought up in Egypt, would always tell me, that my job is just being obedient, that he didn't understand why I couldn't just do one tiny little thing for him, and that is say yes, one tiny little word to everything he says. That would definitely justify the fact that I said Islam is evil. And I said it because my ex also made my life a living hell. And he did slam gun against my forehead. He opened it up and I needed to have stitches. And he did stick a gun in my head once. No, he didn't do it on a regular basis. And no, I'm not going to claim that he did. He didn't abuse me physically or anything. But that one time. So the point is that if they get very upset, they justify the fact that you're a woman and it's okay to assault a woman. It's not something against your religion. And it should be, because if it's not against your religion, then you don't have a religion. It is a cult. Then there was another woman that I was listening to who had to escape from somewhere in Africa from Islam. And she was describing how women are mutilated in Islam because they literally cut off the clitoris, I don't know what it's called. And then they stitch it together and they make the hole so tiny so that when they have sex, not only can they never enjoy sex again because that's where the sensitivity is, but they're actually in excruciating pain when they're having sex. And then when they give birth, they open it up. And then after they give birth, they sew it back together. I would say that's very evil against women. But even worse than that, the culture that a lot of Muslims are talking about is a culture of molestation, of raping little boys. That's very evil. Now, I'm not saying that every person that practices Islam is evil. I don't know every person that practices Islam, and I'm never going to be able to talk to billions of people who believe in that religion, and I'm sure a lot of people are Muslims and are very, very good people. I want to be very clear on that. But most people that are practicing Islam don't know how to read the Quran. They read interpretations of it, which may be accurate or may not be, but they need to. If it was my religion, I would want to read my Bible. I would want to read my word of God and know exactly what it says. I don't want to just take other people's word for it. In every other religion, that's a very necessary thing. You see Christians walking around with the Bible. They know what it says, and if they don't, they're invited always to know what it says. Judaism, they teach little kids to read the Bible from a very young age, and you spend your entire life reading the Bible if you care about being Jewish. But in Judaism, most Jews don't really practice Judaism, then they're just Jewish by name. But the ones that really care about Judaism. So if you care about Islam and you're passionate about your religion and you really think that it's a peaceful religion because you have been brought up in a nice, peaceful home, then you really need to read your Quran and see if it's something that goes along with your way of thinking, because if Muhammad was a violent man, according to all these people that were brought up a Muslim, I don't read Arabic, so I can't tell you that I read that. And if he raped and married a 6-year-old and only had sex with her without inserting it until she was 9, and then he thought, then that's your leader. Is that the kind of example? Is that what you want your husband to do to your children? I don't know. I'm just saying it's a question you should ask. But I'm in no way saying that you are evil if you are Muslim, because I know that most Muslims do not read the Quran. And I know a lot of Muslim men and women who are really, really nice and that I really like. But I really feel like they don't know that Muslim is, that Islam is not even a religion, according to some people. They don't know exactly what Islam is. Or they don't want to know, or could be that I'm wrong about everything. And if I am, please correct me, because I would love for all that not to be true. Because there's also another thing in Islam, which is that in order to be a good Muslim, you have to lie. You have to lie, and to a certain amount of time until you accomplish what you want, and then you can come out with the truth, something like that. And that's evil. And then another thing about Islam is that it plans to take over the world. The idea is to have the entire world under Islam, one religion. And that means that we would have to live under that kind of law, which is the jihad. I don't know what they call the law now. Just my brain flew right out of my brain. But anyway, that was the research I did today. Definitely open to hearing more things. I definitely open. But the only reason I'm bringing it up is because I'm concerned. I'm concerned that we are accepting something that may hurt us in our country in a way that may hurt us. And I don't want anything bad to happen to any American, even the Muslim Americans. I think the only solution to Islam's problem, definitely the problem, can only come from the Muslims that are practicing, that are not part of that kind of that you call radical Islam. But if this is the Quran, then is it really radical to do all those things if the Quran tells you to do it? And if Muhammad did it, one of the things that my ex-husband did before we got married, he called his father and he told him that he was going to marry a Jewish girl. And his father didn't have a problem with it because he said that Muhammad married a Jewish girl. Of course, he didn't tell him that he raped that little Jewish girl and that he killed her entire village. But if you are a follower of Muhammad's teachings, then you really need to know what kind of life he lived and what he did, and to make sure that that's okay with you, to make sure that that's a beautiful example that you want to follow. That's all I'm saying. But you don't really have to. And like I said, I could be wrong about everything. So please educate me if you know better. I was able to hold my coughing in for almost 15 minutes, but that was the top of the line. And so I don't want to finish with a negative note. I do want to finish with a positive note, and I will. I'm going to tell you something really beautiful and really inspirational. And that is from a woman called Jenna LaFlamme, who inspires women to really enjoy life, to really squeeze the pleasure out of everything they do. And she says that, sadly, for most women, including herself, in the past, the road more traveled is the path of self-doubt, self-criticism, and self-denial. She says we learn in childhood to suppress our innate instinct of self-approval, and then we forget it ever existed. And then we only know shame and unworthiness. But fortunately, it doesn't have to stay this way. So if you are in self-doubt, self-criticism, or self-denial, this is your wake-up call. It doesn't have to stay this way. It's better for you personally and for the world that it doesn't. And showing you how it doesn't have to be that way is my passion with pleasurable productivity. Because what I want to see is someone, a man or a woman, who is a pillar of confidence and also someone that doesn't doubt themselves and says, yes, I'm all right. And not, yeah, I'm all right, but yes, I'm all right. And I am all right. And you are all right. And you are entitled to all the thoughts that go through your head and to make it so much better. And there's no need to fixate on flaws as an evidence of unworthiness. And so no one is perfect in any regard. And don't let yourself forget that. But when you start acting as if you're confident and it's only a shell and you feel rotten to the core, self-loathing, that's not a good way to live your life. Because that will eventually lead you to hell and you will have to confront the real heart of that matter. So how to do this? The first thing you have to do is believe, because your mindset and your practice and the things that you can do, yes, anybody can do it. Even if you're unhappy now about yourself, about your body, about your job, even if you want to lose weight like I do, or if you feel unattractive and you're determined that no one can talk you out of feeling bad, even you can learn to experience the pleasure and self-assurance and self-confidence that it takes to live in a pleasurable, productive life. Because the key here is the pleasurable. It can be loving and accepting of yourself first, exactly as you are. It doesn't mean being afraid to get stuck in one place. Self-love means self-acceptance. Because that's the fastest way to stimulate lasting change. So that's basically the way I want to close it. So feeling self-confident, enjoying it, being productive in a pleasurable way, not just being productive, is my passion. So if you want to enjoy more pleasure and be more productive, then please email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com and ask me, how do I learn more pleasurable productivity? Because pleasurable productivity is about personally being confident and feeling yourself, knowing that yes, you are all right, and enjoying the process of creating new things, new toys, and really creating everything that you've always wanted to create. And one of the great side effects of pleasurable productivity is that you will not completely stop procrastinating, because I don't think that's ever going to happen to me, but maybe it will to you, but definitely put procrastination in the back burner where you put productivity in the front burner. And that's the idea of pleasurable life, pleasurable productivity. And that's what I'm hoping to leave you with. Enjoy your life. Enjoy the pleasure of being alive. And enjoy the nature that is everywhere around you for free. Because all those wonderful things that we have free are there for you taking. So go ahead and take it. Take a deep breath. Enjoy it. And until we meet again, have a magical journey. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a really great song that I love from Newborn. It's called Gravity. So sit back, enjoy the music, and just see if you enjoy it as much as I do. It's going to take a little bit so you can really enjoy it. And if you don't smile at the end of this, please let me know. You can either call me at 914-338-0686 right now within the next 5 minutes. Or you can email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com. And Tippy is spelled T-I-P-P-Y. So sit back and enjoy the music.